player. You know, and their game's off. You know, they're just not having good games like they were having. Well, if you talk, you interview them, you know, once their game does pick up, if you interview them, they're going to tell you that they went back to the fundamentals. And their game picked up. Because sometimes we get so caught up in all the other things. Because there's so much in the scripture. There's so much information that we've been given from each one of us, all the speakers. We kind of lose track of the fundamentals. But we have to make sure whenever we recognize that we get back to them. And whenever we do, you know, we'll see a difference. And so that's what I'm going to speak on tonight. But we're going to go ahead and start the Torah portion. So this story, we're gonna recap the story of Joseph, and there's so many fundamentals in there, fundamental principles that he used, that it's important. And at some point, I'm sure all of these been touched on by one of us multiple times, but we're gonna go through them again anyway, and just get a refreshing on them. And I put, I labeled them. So the first one's going to be, trust Yahweh. Do not focus on the circumstances. When we find ourselves in the pits of life, sometimes we have the tendency to get farther away from Yahweh and think that he's forgotten us. You know, and we all have been through this. You know, now we get in them situations, it's tough. You know, we get in tough situations. We go through them a lot. And, you know, sometimes we feel like the Father's forgotten about us. But one thing we have to remember is a lot of times this is places that the Father puts us. He puts us in what we would call a desert. He puts us there for a reason. And it's to refine us. This whole thing, Joseph goes through a refining process. The same one Yeshua went through. He went through the same one. And that's another thing, you know, we can look at all the different parallels in here, but our focus is on the life lesson fundamentals that Joseph shows us in the scripture. Not only does he show us, he goes through them, he's an example for us to pull from. This is the time when we should pursue the Father even harder. We should pursue him even harder. Even when Joseph was sold into slavery, the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. The Father was still with him. He's still with us. Even whenever it seems like he's not. The only time he's not with us, because what's the only thing that separates us from the Father? Sin. It's the only time he's not with us. But if we're doing everything we know we need to do according to the scripture, we're still going through things. Regardless, we're going to go through them. But one thing we have to remember, he's still with us. And it's just a time of testing, a time of refining. Be faithful, be patient. Joseph learned patience. Patience is, you know, you don't snap your fingers and you have patience. You're not born with it. I mean, it's something that you have to work at. And Joseph learned patience through this whole process, and we can see it through the whole thing. I mean, it's just this big picture of patience. We live in a world where we are bombarded with many opportunities of instant gratification. Technological advancement made our life easier to the point that we feel entitled for all the good things in this life. It seems that with just a simple push of a button, we can instantly have what we want. Since this world is geared towards the way of getting, we can easily see why this world has a poverty of patience. Part of being faithful is being patient. We have to be patient. And this is something that I, you know, whenever I read, went over the story again, I noticed something that even after Joseph ascended to the palace, you know, he made his way to the palace, going through all the things that he went through to refine, and even him seated right under Pharaoh, you know, he was in charge and left. Pharaoh was on the throne. He didn't try to pull any strings to get his father and his brothers to Egypt. He didn't. Because he remembered. He remembered the word, the dream, the vision that he had. He remembered, and he wanted to be patient. He didn't want to make stuff happen because he could have. He's sitting right under the king. He could have, but he didn't. He was patient for the dream and for the prophecy that God gave him. Joseph was very patient for God's promise. He remembered his dream where God revealed unto him that he will rise to power. He let them come to him. He let them come to him. He didn't try to make it happen. He could have gotten his family there. But remember, just because we can doesn't mean we should. Doing the right thing does not always lead to instant physical and mental relief. Don't we know that? You know, it doesn't always, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. We still have to do it. The jealousy, hatred, and resentment of Joseph's brothers led them to sell Joseph to the Midianite traders. Joseph was brought to Egypt where the Midianite traders sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard. Joseph stayed faithful and obedient to the commandments of God in a strange land. Even after each promotion and growing comfortable in his surroundings, Joseph stayed faithful and obedient. And, you know, I remember I've been on quite a few different jobs and being born again. I mean, whenever you go to a new job, I would always, it's like, you putting in that extra prayer time, right? Because you know nobody there. You really don't know what to expect, even though you may go through orientation. Dealing with people one-on-one is totally different, you know, so you don't know what to expect. So, I mean, I remember I'd always put that extra prayer time in, but I've noticed whenever I look back, I noticed once I got familiar, I kind of slacked in it, you know, and we shouldn't. And Joseph is a good example. He didn't. Even whenever he ascended to power, he didn't slack in it. Because of this, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. The blessings of God helped Joseph to find favor in the sight of his master and eventually made him be the overseer of his house. However, the story doesn't end there. The wife of Potiphar, casting longing eyes at Joseph and seduced him to lie with her. However, Joseph is better than that. He refused and strongly overcame the seduction of his master's wife. The seduction did not just happen once, but it happened day by day, the scripture says, until Joseph's wife had forced herself on Joseph as a last resort. Yes, Joseph could have easily succumbed to the seduction of Potiphar's wife and enjoyed the pleasures of sin. But how can he do this great wickedness and sin against Yahweh? Instead of giving in to temptation, he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. I noticed something in this part of the story, the determination of Joseph to get away from sin. That's what I noticed. And, you know, and you have to, every time you know, I'm putting a mess. I always look at myself, and I reflect back on when I didn't run away from sin like I should have. But I should have been wide open the other way, but I was wide open going the wrong way. And even as a believer, I found myself doing the same thing. Not wide open, but tasting it. But in, you know, sin reminds me of, I was thinking about this, I took it out my nose, but anyway, it reminds me of that movie, The Gremlins. You know, and if you let it out its cage, it multiplies. If you put water on it, that gremlin, that's what it reminded me. I got a picture of that right away whenever I read it. I'm like, man, that is so true. It is so true. And which one of them sins would represent, the gremlin would represent? Which one would it be? It's the same one that Lucifer fell trapped to. It's pride. It'd be the same one. And that's what I've seen. But that's what it reminded me of. Notice the determination of Joseph. He did not just walk away from temptation, but he fled and ran. Hasatan is very wise, cunning, and will present sin as something to be desired, but don't be deceived. Sin will always be sin. Yes, sin can bring physical pleasures, and that's what gets us. The physical pleasure, whatever it may be. You know, that sense of feeling, of gratitude. And then at the end, when it all stripped away, what happens? We feel all yucky on the inside because we know we should have never done that. We should have never done that. And that's our job to fix it. Get on our knees and repent. Yes, sin can bring physical pleasures, but we need to remember that it will never last because at some point, you will have to face its negative effects. And that's the negative effect. You know, we feel it. It's whenever we don't feel it, that's whenever it becomes a problem, because we come cold and numb to the things of God. And that's not a good place to be. On the other hand, obeying Yahweh will bring blessings both in this life and the life to come. So choose wisely. The wife of Potiphar accused Joseph of trying to take advantage of her, and Potiphar's anger was aroused against Joseph, so Joseph was in prison for doing the right thing. For doing the right thing. You can just imagine how Joseph would have received this punishment. After all, he did the right thing, and he deserves to be fairly dealt with. You know, and I put this particular reading under patient category, because this is where we can become impatient. Whenever we know we're doing the right thing, we see it in the scripture, this is what I need to be doing, but instead of being rewarded for it, we get punished for it. You know, we can get impatient with that. But the scripture says those who endure to the end. So we know we're going to have some things to endure, and this is one of them. You know, and it shouldn't discourage us from doing the right thing. But it can if we allow it to, because we get punished for doing the right thing. And this is some of the effects of, you know, being discouraged. We can get down on ourselves, get discouraged, and distance ourselves from the Father and the body. Our believers, the folks who are supposed to, who, you know, encourages us and lifts us up. And we can start blaming other people, and this will separate us from the Father and the body. Romans 12:12, and these scriptures are about patience. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Proverbs 8:15-18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow or patient to anger appeaseth or avoids strife. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rested in the bosom of fools. So patience is very important. This is fundamentals. This is what got you here. So this is what got us where we are today. It's the fundamentals. We knew them. And I can tell you by looking at our body, there's some things we used to do before, but we got away from them. And one of them is attending church. That's one of them. You know, we used to have church, a lot. You know, we'd have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday. You know, but attendance, I remember, you know, people was in church. But we have to get back to it, because that's what strengthened us as believers. And for anybody that say it doesn't, they crazy, because we all experienced this. I did, we all did. There's times where we all lapse. And whenever we did, we become weaker and weaker until we got back in position. And we went back to the fundamentals and said, you know something? I need to be in church, because this is what strengthens me. And look, here's the thing, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's not for us. It's not just for us. You know, whenever Brother Jesse's here and Sister Gloria, that's telling me that we in this thing together. You support me. You're praying for me. But whenever nobody's showing up, you know what I'm saying? When we're not showing up, that's telling me that we're truly not supporting each other like we should. And we just went through this. The Father just brought us back in the corner. He just brought us back not long ago. And look, you see how slick the enemy is? You see what he does? And he don't stop. We just went through this. And he don't stop, and he's not going to stop, because we're in a war. And we should never forget that. This is not a game. We should never forget that we're in a war. This is a battle that we're in. And any time we let up, we're going to succumb to Satan's deceitfulness, traps, whatever he has out there planted for us to fall into, he's going to do it. You know, and I'm gonna go back to my parable I told about the NFL player. But you know, in the NFL, there's what you call a blue chip, a blue collar player, and this is a player that whenever he's on a field, he's never the most talented guy, never. He's a blue chip player or blue collar player because his fundamentals are sound. He has sound fundamentals. So it makes up for him not having being the most athletic and the most talented player on the field. And, you know, it's the same thing with us. You know, I don't consider myself the most talented guy up whenever I'm up here speaking. By far, I don't. But I know that if I stick to the fundamentals where I lack, the Spirit is going to make up for it. I know that. Walking integrity is the next fundamental. Joseph's life is a powerful testimony of the long-term effects of walking in integrity. Temptation will always come. Temptation will always come, and in his case, one of them was Potiphar's wife, but allow God's grace to cause you to flee sin and protect you from all of the enemy's traps. But, you know, walking in integrity, if he would have never been walking in integrity, he would have succumbed to that, because you know why? It was just him and her. And that's true integrity. It's not when everybody is watching. It's when nobody's watching. And you do the right thing. You do the right thing. True integrity, when no one is looking, you do what's pleasing to the Father, or you do the right thing. Proverbs 10:9. He that walketh uprightly or in integrity walketh surely, but he that perverteth or is crooked, his ways shall be known. So, you know, the scripture is clear on that. Whatever's done in the dark is going to come out to the light. Whatever's done in secret is going to reveal itself. And it's the same thing whenever we're dealing with integrity. You know, and I'm talking about, you know, Christian integrity or the integrity that we see in the scripture. You know, if we do things if we don't walk in integrity and we do things in secret, people's going to know about it. At some point, and here's the thing, you get into a habit of that. And then what's going to happen is whenever people's there, you're going to forget. And you're going to do it. And that's how it comes out into the light. Because it becomes a habit. Walk in humility. And this one kind of encompasses all of them. Because without humility, you're not going to do any of them, that, you know. Joseph always knew that his gift to interpret dreams came from Yahweh. He never took credit and always focused on giving Yahweh the glory for all that he did and accomplished. And I remember whenever he went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Man, I heard you can interpret dreams." And he said, "I'm not the guy, I'm not the interpreter, the Father is. Yahweh is the interpreter." Joseph didn't try to push his own agenda in his life. Again, he was patient. He didn't try to push the envelope. You know, like we talked about, he could have got his family there, but he didn't. He was patient, and he waited on the Lord's timing. After Joseph interprets the baker's and cupbearer's dreams, he asks the cupbearer, whom he knew would soon become promoted back to his job, to remember him and hopefully aid him in getting him freed from his wrongful imprisonment. Even with Joseph dealing with hardship and adversity of his own, he helped others. And that's fundamental for a Christian. This is something that we should do. We should do it. You know, there's times where we're going to be dealing with things, we're going through hardship, but there's times where we're dealing with that, God's going to open up a door to speak into somebody else's life. And look, and most of the time that person's going to know about it, and it's going to speak volumes to them. And they're going to walk away from that conversation and say, "You know something, I know that fellow, that lady's going through that, but they was willing to help me out and give me confident words or a word from God," whatever it is. So it seems right that he would receive a reward and a blessing from that. Now that's in the wrong spot. But once the cupbearer was restored to his position, he forgot all about Joseph. Thus he remained in prison for 2 more long years. So while he's in there, he was the guard, the keeper of the guards, or the guard in charge. I mean, he gained favor with him. And, you know, I'm sure Joseph could have talked to this guy and said, ask him to go talk to Pharaoh or talk to somebody on his behalf. But, you know, it doesn't say that in the scripture. Because he was patient and he wanted to wait for the timing of the father. So in all of this, it seems that instead of getting upset, getting impatient, he grew closer to Yahweh and grew in faith during this time. Throughout his journey, Joseph learned to have humility. He didn't make it all about himself. Although Yahweh would one day lift him up, he would first have to be lowered himself and be humbled. It is not all about ourselves. When we show up for church, at meetings, we are here for each other, and this is what we're saying: we support you, we're in this thing together, and you're not by yourself. I mean, that's what we do, and it's good to have that support. Our lives is interconnected with many other members of the body of Christ, all of whom are precious and important to Yahweh. We all precious and important, and you know, I always say this. It doesn't, you know, if you play in a sports, it matters what round you pick. With the Father, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you pick. You're still important. You still have a vital role to play in the church, in your community church, in all over the world. We have a vital role to play. Now, what once can we see in Scripture where he took ownership of his gift of interpretation, no ownership of his life? And I put this scripture here because it reminded me of this in 1 Corinthians 8:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of Elohim, and ye are not of your own? We're not our own. You know, whenever we first born again, we have no problem giving our life away. But the longer we go, it seems like, you know, the tougher it gets to do that, when it should be getting easier. You know, it's not our life. So, you know, all the decisions that we make, we need to make sure that it's the right decisions. Because there's a bunch we have. Every day we have to make decisions. From the minute we wake up till we go to bed, there's decisions to be made. So we have to make sure. And we have to remember, I'm not my own. So I want to make sure I'm doing what the Father wants me to do and not what I want to do. Having a forgiving heart. Again, this is fundamental. And you know, and why is it fundamental? Because we were forgiven. We were forgiven. So if we were forgiven, we should forgive others. Because if we don't, there's going to be consequences. Set your heart to forgive those around you. This not only will heal your relationship, but it will also keep your heart free from bitterness and deep-rooted sentiment from past or future events. Don't let them build up. Joseph ministered to others in his darkest time. He did it with the baker in jail. One of his darkest times. I'd have been thinking, I already know. I spent the week one time, let me tell you. It felt like a year. I ain't kidding. But I wasn't worried about, no, I was worried about getting out of there. Y'all do what y'all do. I'm doing what I'm staying right here, make sure I don't get in trouble. But you know, that becomes people's homes. And that's what House of Time wants. He wants people thriving in that kind of environment. And that's what I seen. And that was the last time I went. I seen enough right there. All right. Something wrong with this picture. These folks act like they home. If I keep doing that, I'm going to be right there. I don't want this to be my home. So Joseph had a love for people. He did. We can see it. He was a light and a beacon to others. And there's two ways we shine a light or we beacon to others. What we say, the way we speak. We are light and we are beacon to others. We are not called to live only for ourselves. And I mentioned this earlier. God loves us individually. But this is one thing that we have to remember. I mean, this is important. He also loves others through us. He loves others through us. We do not have the capability to love people properly. It only comes when we allow Him to love through us. Because even on our best day, it won't be good enough. But if we allow the Father to love through us, then it will be. We're going to talk about a caterpillar for a little while here. But, I mean, they have some good stuff with the metamorphosis of a caterpillar that we could apply to our life, and we're going to look at it for a minute. A caterpillar does two things to become a butterfly. Two things. It eats nonstop. Eats nonstop. The second thing, it goes through adversity. It struggles to stay alive in a metamorphosis process if it makes it. It reaps the reward by transforming into a beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis brings, and this is what happens. You know, if you look at the butterfly, and it's just the same picture that happens to us as a believer. Once we're born again, truly born again, this is what happens. It brings about a dramatic change in character and appearance of those who go through it. I remember. We all remember. I mean, we were changed. We were true. It's like, man, a ton of bricks came off of me. You know, I can see the scales come off my eyes, and I walk different. I talk different. But the problem is, we tend to go back that way. You know, when we're first born again, I mean, a lot of stuff happens. A lot. And we have no problem with it. But Hasatan, remember, he don't give up. He's going to remind us of them old tendencies. It is about conversion. It is about making corrections at any point in time in our life. It is about remolding, realigning, and readjusting to what Yahweh is calling us to become. It is about the willingness to take on quantum leaps of faith in our life and make total changes. Oftentimes, radical and sudden. So this is the picture I've seen from the metamorphosis of the worm to the caterpillar. We must eat the word constantly. Constantly, we have to eat the word constantly and praise him in the struggles and adversity of life. We have to. If we do that, we won't fail. And we will reap the reward, everlasting life. John 4:34, Yeshua saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat. We must eat the word constantly and praise him in the struggles and adversities of life. The struggle will be rewarded. Eat the word constantly. The Torah is the standard we should live by. It's Yah's instructions. And from the very beginning, Satan's been trying to diminish it. He did it with Adam and Eve. You won't surely die. And he's doing the same thing now. You won't surely die. You'll be all right. Just go ahead and do it. You can go to church Sunday. You'll be all right. He wants us to think it's really not that important. That's why you have folks standing up and saying that you have to unhitch from the Old Testament, from the Tanakh. Because that's the standard we should live by. It's in the Torah. Well, that's all I have for tonight. Thanks for coming out. And we'll see y'all tomorrow morning. Remember, we'll be eating...